joining us right now. First of all, how are you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
We are good. Kind of tell people about, for people that don't know what is going on with PFL, let people know what is going on right now.
Well, we've had an amazing inaugural season. First season for the PFL went very well. The postseason play was pretty amazing, and we're down to the finals now. We have the finals happening on the 31st, New Year's Eve, in Madison Square Garden's Hulu Theater. It's going to be amazing. There'll be 6 new millionaires walk out of that building that night.
You talk about the $1 million, Randy. Obviously, you're around the fighters a lot. You're doing broadcasting duties and all that good stuff. Have you noticed like a different amount of pressure on these guys? For a lot of these guys, they haven't. I mean, they're not, you know, two division champions like yourselves. You know, these guys, this is a huge deal for them. So what do you think the pressure factor is for these guys?
Well, you know, I hope that they keep the same attitude they've had going through the whole season into the finale. It's been pretty remarkable to watch these guys step up. Obviously, these guys turned around and fought every 6 weeks during the regular season to score points, to get into the top eight, to be in the postseason play, and get a shot at the $1 million. And we've had, I think, over a 70% finish rate with those fighters.
Yeah.
They've really stepped up. It's been fun to watch. And I hope they don't get too uptight about it. They still got to go out there and let it hang out if they want to walk away with the money. So, I think they'll handle it well.
You bring up something real interesting there, Randy, and you're here with Randy Couture, former light heavyweight champion of the UFC. You bring up that finishing rate, and that finishing rate largely was happening because the PFL, the Professional Fighter League, has instilled essentially an incentive. It was a point-based system, and if you go out and finish your opponent, that's going to look better for you in the points ranking to getting you to the final.
That's absolutely correct. They created a system and a merit-based system at that. It didn't matter how much crap you talked or what kind of publicity stunts you wanted to try and pull. You had to go out there and win fights, and the earlier you finished fights, the more points you scored, which were going to be tallied and carry you over into the postseason. There were 12 fighters in 6 weight classes in the regular season. 4 of those guys were eliminated. 8 of those guys moved on to the postseason progressive tournament to get a chance to be in that finale on New Year's Eve.
You talk about trash talk, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up, but you got, I imagine on some level, your old boss, your old colleague, on Dana White, he was going after Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar's got that new Golden Boy promotion that he did with Chuck and Tito. I do want to get your thoughts on that, but what'd you think about that back and forth between Dana and Oscar? I know, obviously, you've had your back and forth with Dana at times, but that was pretty interesting, I think, on a mainstream level. What was your takeaway from all that?
Well, you know, Dana's going to be Dana. You know, for him coming back, quipping back, and getting into that dialogue with Chuck, with Tito, or with Golden Boy and De La Hoya only sheds light and more light on what De La Hoya and Golden Boy are trying to do. Obviously, with the Chuck and Tito fight, they used the boxing model. About 60 to 70% of the money that came in from that event went to those fighters that fought on that card. That's a little bit different than what's going on in mixed martial arts. So Dana White can say all he wants, but they're using a little bit better model for the fighters, the boxing model. And De La Hoya is doing a good job. I hope he stays in it. I hope they made enough money and it did well enough that they stay in mixed martial arts. It's another place for fighters to go and get a fair shake.
So we bring up Chuck and we bring up Tito. Did you see the fight?
I did watch the fight.
Okay. What'd you think?
Well, you know, my sincere hope going in is that it would be a barn burner and it would be a great fight, and both those guys would account for themselves very well. Obviously, that, you know, I think it was a little sad. I hated to see Chuck go out that way. I didn't really care who won. I get along with both those guys great. I see them quite a bit now, you know, in my own retirement at different charity events and different things. And at the end of the day, again, I hoped it went well for De La Hoya and that they stay in the MMA game. You know, it's always sad to see a guy like Chuck with such an amazing run and reputation in the sport to go down like that. But it is what it is. It's anybody has that capability in any night in mixed martial arts.
It didn't give you any ideas, did it?
If I was going to have an idea about that, it would have happened 5 or 6 years ago when Fedor threw his hat back in the ring. And, you know, I'm 55 years old. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me on it at this time. I'm having a blast acting, staying very, very busy, doing all that stuff with the gym and the clothing line, and all the other stuff that I've got going on with Affliction and trying to pursue and up my acting game.
God, you mentioned 55 and all of us in the booth. I mean, Randy, I was there that night in Ohio when you took the belt from Tim Sylvia. You were at it, I'm going to say, an advanced age then. At 55, it's incredible to hear because you just said it. If it was 5 years ago when I was 50, yeah, I would have entertained coming back and fighting Fedor. The crazy thing here is, Chuck was 50, Randy, and he looked – I don't want to pile on here because I'm with you. We wanted it to be good. We all love Chuck Liddell. He harkens back to a very special era for many, you know, combat sports fans. What was wrong with Chuck? Why did he – I know it was 8 years off, but even with 8 years off, he just looked like half the fighter that we had come to expect from him.
Well, 8 years is a long time. Yeah. There is some things you can't account for. I think we all hoped that we'd see a glimmer of that old Chuck that we all know and love back in the day. I'm not sure how much I loved him. The couple times I faced him there, but I certainly appreciate his abilities. And good for Tito. Tito has been active. He fought twice last year. He's been in fight shape, and fight shape is a whole different thing. And I think that as great a shape as Chuck looked like he was in, it still wasn't the same. The ring rust and the other stuff was still there. It was still an issue. So, I mean, it is what it is.
I want to get back to the PFL, but the last thing on this is it wrong that we as media people, we as people that have been around the sport and followed the sport, were sad watching that? I admit I was sad to see that happen. I didn't want to be watching that. Is it wrong of us to feel that way?
No, I think that's a natural reaction. I think that I don't think there's anybody that was a fan of Chuck Liddell that wasn't a little sad by how that went, and I felt the same way. You know, as hopeful as I was for that fight and that it would be a knockdown drag out, that both guys would have a good accounting of themselves. You know, us old guys, we got to stick together. So I was sad. There's no way around it. It just wasn't the same Chuck that we're used to seeing. Unfortunately, that's just how it is.
All right, last question on this, and this is something I really want to hear from you, because after the fight, when you looked across social media, even some of the bloggers or writers, they took umbrage with some of the things that Ortiz said, but more so the way he acted and the excitement at which he had at beating a clearly deflated version of Chuck Liddell. Did you have any problem with how excited Tito got for that win?
No, this was a huge deal for Tito. Yeah. I mean, Tito lost two fights against Chuck. Chuck was, nice enough to be willing to step back up in there and give Tito another shot, a shot at getting one in the victory column. And I wasn't offended by anything Tito said or did. He did his usual stuff, dig in the grave and all that stuff. But he's done that for years and years and years. So I don't know why anybody thought that would be any different with this fight. And certainly he went out and did his job. He showed that he's a little bit younger physical fighter and been active and been in fight shape. I mean, fighting Sonnen and the guys he fought last year, those weren't small fights.
Right.
So, all those things all go into the equation, all have to be accounted for. And, I didn't see anything that bothered me with how Tito handled it. Good for him.
Yeah, we talked about the pay structure there with Golden Boy and how it was giving back to the fighters. Obviously, the PFL, the Professional Fighter Leagues, we mentioned it, $1 million prize for multiple weight classes coming up next week at Madison Square Garden. Randy, there's clearly a shift happening in mixed martial arts, whether you look at one championship over in Asia, obviously you have Bellator stateside, you have the PFL, you have all these different organizations kind of blossoming and trying to make things creative. Obviously, I think PFL is on the forefront of that by offering this $1 million prize. Just how successful do you think the PFL can be, and what needs to be done to kind of get that traction underneath them and make people care in a real way?
Well, I think they're certainly headed in the right direction. These fighters have stepped up and have performed very, very well. I think they handled the adversity of the schedule like any mixed martial artist would. They just did it, stepped up, and did a great job, and were exciting to watch. I love the merit-based system. I think that's something we strayed away from in MMA. Guys are able to talk their way into title fights or pull the best publicity stunt to develop some heat for a fight and get the nod, and I don't think that's a true sport. That's a WWE model, and I think hardcore fans certainly see right through it. So to have a merit-based model like the PFL, I think it's going to do well. I think it's got some, still got some growing room, still got some time to get some traction with the brand and continue to build the brand. But they picked some great spots and some great cities, you know, D.C. and Chicago, and going out on Long Island was a really cool experience. I think they're spreading the love a little bit. We were in Long Beach on the West Coast, which was a cool one. It's going to take a little time. We'll see what TV looks like for season two and where we end up. There's a lot of talk about expanding the weight classes a little bit, creating a women's weight class, certainly getting Kayla Harrison involved there. And I certainly enjoy watching her compete. So we'll see what season two holds. But right now, honing in on the last event for this season and New Year's Eve.
Were you surprised at how much talent is out there that, people really don't know about and that, can't compete at a high level like this?
I wasn't surprised. I think we've seen that, and even go back 6-7 years when I was still commentating for Fox and the UFC. I mean, I actually had to pull out some paperwork and do some studying. There was a whole bunch of fighters that were like, holy crap, where did this kid come from and who does he train with? So I just think, this has become the combative sport for this generation, and there are a lot of great fighters out there.
All right, Randy, I'm going to get you out of here on this. Obviously, the PFL has their fights coming up on New Year's Eve, but the UFC has some fights coming up on Saturday. And obviously, the reason I want to ask you about this, number one, it's your old belt. It's the 205-pound light heavyweight championship one. It's actually not for the belt, but it is John Jones returning. I think anytime John Jones comes back, whether the belt is actually there or not, I think everyone kind of recognizes him as, if not the greatest fighter of all time, but one of the greatest fighters of all time. Obviously, a rematch with Alexander Gustafsson, one of the toughest fights of his career. Where do you think John Jones, we know about the turmoil, we know about the strife that he's been through, where do you think he's at and what do you expect from him come Saturday?
Well, it's really hard to say. I'm like everybody else. I have a lot more questions than answers. Certainly we hope that John goes out and has a great performance. Whether he wins or loses, that doesn't really matter. I just want him to go out and have a good performance and have all the tests come back, clean and no issues and no other kind of extracurricular drama. I think that would be a huge step in the right direction for John Jones.
All right, Randy, we wish you all the best with the PFL on New Year's Eve. And it was a pleasure talking to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you.
All right, Randy Couture, former light heavyweight champion and heavyweight champion of the UFC, now doing commentary duties for the PFL.